and gentlemen, welcome to episode 102 of the It's Obvious podcast. My name's Garrett Drake, and I'm joined alongside the provocatively attractive, the wickedly talented Adele Kazim.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's good to have you here, Adina Menzel. I really love your tune in Frozen, Let It Go.
Yes.
A bit overplayed, but a classic nonetheless. How was your week?
I worked very hard on it. Thank you. But my week was just fine. I made a big decision this week, and I don't regret it one bit.
Why don't you tell us about that decision, Jacob?
That decision was to buy the GameStop Switch bundle.
Oh, my goodness.
And I pulled the trigger.
Jacob Alka, tell us how you pulled it off.
Well, the bundle is $480, which is a little pricey, I would say, even getting all that stuff. But I decided that I didn't need my 3DS anymore, my 3DS XL. The new
3DX XL.
Yes, XXXL.
Correct.
And I traded it in for a solid $100 off. Because if we're being completely honest, I'm never going to play that 3DS again. I just got it for Pokemon.
Okay.
And hopefully the rumors are true that it's come to Switch. So I can just, play it there.
Yeah, you're not the only one keeping your fingers crossed for that one, Jacob.
Right. And if that's not the case, then I guess I'll just have to buy another 3DS. Oh. But I also gave up Pokemon. I got $20 for that.
Okay.
So I took off a solid, good quarter of the whole cost.
That's wonderful.
By trading in a couple of things.
So now, what all comes with this bundle?
It is the Switch itself. It's the gray Joy-Con Switch, which is what I wanted.
Excellent.
Zelda, Breath of the Wild, the expansion pass, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, Has-Been Heroes, which I've heard okay things about. I might give it a try once I do those other two games. And Shovel Knight, I think it's the expansion. It's not the original game. It's something else.
Spectre Knight? Is it Spectre Knight?
I think it might be Spectre Knight.
Okay.
I can't remember
what the DLC is actually called, but if I'm not mistaken, it's Spectre Knight.
Yeah, it's some kind of Shovel Knight game.
Okay.
So there's that.
That's very exciting.
Yeah.
No, that's absolutely thrilling, Jacob. I'm so grateful that you're going to jump into the Switch ecosystem.
I am too.
You will have Mario Kart, and I'm excited for you to join us on the tracks and streams, Let's Plays, and just playing with friends. Speaking of which, we got a ton of Mario Kart action this week. Once on Tuesday with our live stream, it was a lot of fun. I had a few victories against Preston, and a couple of our buddies from the community, specifically Kyle, Mr. Sam Harris, also had a couple of victories themselves. So Preston was not king the entire stream. But he predominantly was overall. But we did beat him a few times, and it was very satisfying. And again, thank you to all who tuned into that stream and joined us for the fun. I love Mario Kart. I can't get enough of it. And as I was saying, when I said we played a lot, we are actually two nights in a row. I think it was Friday night and Saturday night. We were at our buddy Evan's house, and he has that massive projector on his wall.
Yes.
And playing split screen on his projector wall, it's so big that one single cube in split screen is three times the size of my normal television. So it's like playing on a giant screen regardless. So we played a ton of split screen Mario Kart on the projector. It was a crap ton of fun.
It was a lot of fun.
And
if only we could have had four people playing at once.
Exactly, yeah. We had three going at once, two with the split Joy-Cons and me with the Pro Controller. Of course, we all passed around the Pro Controller, so not everyone was at a disadvantage the whole time. But I love the convenience that we're living out the advertisement of Switch from the commercial where we all literally are using the little Joy-Cons to play it. And I knew when I watched that advertisement for the first time, that time would come. And it's been with Mario Kart, and I had a ton of fun with it. So it was a blast, and I love playing it. So
just think about doing that with Smash Bros, dude.
Oh, I know. Yeah. And that time will come, too. I'm very excited.
So.
Very excited indeed. But video game-wise, before I talk about video games, I'll talk to you about a little funny story that I found out literally hours ago that is not necessarily disturbing, but very interesting and honestly a little weird. So my mother and my father went to a cookout across the street with some neighbors we haven't really spoken to often in the last few years. But we used to be pretty decent friends with them, and I used to be friends with their son, who has gone off and done much greater things than I have in the world, so I haven't talked to him in years either. But they all had a cookout for whatever reason, just kind of catch up and see what's going on. So my parents went over there, and our new neighbors across the street who moved in about 6 months ago also went over, so my parents met them. They're all having a good time. So I start talking about our previous neighbors that used to live across the street. Now, they just up and left in the middle of the night one night. No one knows why. But this really didn't have anything to do with the story, but I don't even know why I'm telling this part, to be honest. But I think this idea spawned because they started talking about people in the neighborhood and just the weirdos in the neighborhood. Now, we used to be friends with the people across the street, but one thing led to the other, and we just kind of stopped talking to them. And they, for some reason, just moved away instantly, which put their house in the market for very cheap. And the people across the street now moved in very easily because of it. So then they got started talking about why these people who moved in across the street, our new neighbors, why they were originally reluctant to move into our neighborhood. Now, my neighborhood's called Lake Forest, and apparently it's been infamous for a very strange reason for years now that my family, the family who we used to be friends with, were totally unaware of. And this is the weirdest thing, Jacob. It's so funny. So they get to talking and they were like, you know, we told ourselves for years we were never going to move into Lake Forest. My mom was like, that's strange. Why do you say that? I go, well, we used to live in Haddon Hall. Now, you know, Haddon Hall, Jacob's, where Zach used to live. They lived there for years. Now, I was under the impression that these new people came from somewhere out of town. But no, they've been incoming.
Why would they just move a little bit over to
They just wanted a bigger house. Okay. So they moved into a bigger house. But they said they were very hesitant to move into the neighborhood. But the only reason they did is because the house was so cheap because our previous neighbors foreclosed on it and bailed. So they just couldn't pass up the deal. Like, this is a steal. We have to buy it. So they moved in. And I finally got to the reason why. And my neighbor that we used to be friends with, they're telling my mom, they're like, how do you not know this? My mom's like, I have no idea what you're talking about. What are you saying? She's like, well, I hope you never put pineapples on your front porch. My mom's like, pineapples? What are you talking about? And long story short, apparently my neighborhood is infamous for a massive swinger community. You know what swingers are?
Yeah.
Yeah, married couples that are having sex with each other. And it's like a secret society in my neighborhood. I swear on my life, this is a true story. This blew my mind. My neighborhood has a literal secret society of the swinger club. And the way you get in is you put some sort of pineapple paraphernalia on your front porch and they send you an invite in the mail and you can come to their next party. Whether it's a pineapple on a wreath or a literal pineapple on your porch or like a pineapple decoration or statue or something. That's how they know that you want in on the swinger community.
This is awesome.
I know, it's unbelievable. And apparently there have been countless awful law issues and married couples getting, and there's apparently the divorce rate in my neighborhood is like through the roof because of the swinger community, and it's caused all these problems. And I've always wondered why I randomly will see hordes of cop cars at different houses in my neighborhood. I'm like, what on earth is happening here? It's like the hood. I mean, there's like 8 cop cars in a driveway, and I'm under the impression it's like, what do you call it?
Drug bust?
I don't know, maybe. That or domestic abuse or something. Yeah. I don't know. But I have just found this out that my neighborhood is infamous. Yeah, I told you the ice would melt in 5 seconds. But
already had a gulp's worth.
Right. So yeah, my neighborhood is full of swingers, and if I want in on the action, I just got to put a pineapple on my front porch.
You thinking about it?
Oh, I've definitely thought about it. I was thinking as a joke, you and I should put a pineapple on my driveway and pretend like we're a gay couple and just go to the swinger thing and just see what it's all about. I just think it sounds hilarious, but that just blew my mind. And I knew there's a lot of pricks in my neighborhood. Not saying everyone's a swinger's a prick, but you got to have something off about you to be involved with that kind of situation. So I ever tell you about the lady who was pissed because I accidentally kicked her margarita into the pool?
No.
And speaking of the pool, I have another story about the swingers about the pool. But we had ordered a ton of, I was in eighth grade or something, we ordered a ton of pizza, and I had like 8 boxes of pizza that were all empty. I was taking them to the garbage, and like an idiot, of course, I tried to carry them all to the garbage, and went, so I can't really see where I'm walking, but I'm walking close to the edge of the pool, and walk, all of a sudden I feel something hit my foot, and I look down and a glass had spilled in, like pink juice spilled into the pool, just spreading. This lady looks up, takes off her sunglasses. She's like, what the hell? I was like, oh, I'm sorry, man. It was an accident. I didn't see it there. I couldn't see where I was going. She's like, yeah, you should be sorry. It was a margarita.
Oh, my gosh.
She's like, it was a margarita, and just gave me this devil's look. And I was like, sorry. And just kept walking.
It's like the holy drink.
Yeah, but those are the kind of people that live in my neighborhood. And that's what's so funny is that my neighborhood is not prestigious. It's not fancy. I mean, sure, it's a nice neighborhood, but it's not a rich person neighborhood by any means. But the people that live here like to think it is, and they act very frustratingly and annoying and very rudely. And now I found out it's full of swingers, which there makes total sense. But the funniest, most disgusting part, and thank the Lord I have not been to the pool in years, because just a couple, I think it was a year ago, they had to drain. I don't know if you remember this. You remember when my pool was drained in my neighborhood?
No.
You don't remember this? Well, me and my buddies at night would skateboard through it for fun because it was drained. We're like, dude, it's like Lords of Dogtown. But we'd skate through it for fun. But it was drained for weeks, and I didn't know why. In the middle of the summer, it was drained. So come to find out, they drained it because there were so many condoms lodged in the drains of the pool that they had to drain it just to get them all out.
Oh, my God.
Can you believe that, Jacob?
That's disgusting.
And children were swimming in this pool.
No.
How disgusting is that? Blew my mind. I found this all out today. So swingers, They're great, apparently, in this neighborhood.
Getting all that chlorine up in their junk.
Yeah, so I'm just going to get us a couple pineapples and throw them on the porch. You and I will pay a visit.
Yes, I cannot wait.
And we'll vlog it, too, for the channel.
Yeah.
You know, for research purposes.
Our IRL segment.
All right. The only other funny thing that happened this week, you know, I've told stories in the past, but when I use my first name, Garrett, at a restaurant, people always mistake it for something else.
Yep.
Well, this week I tried Garrett again for the first time at Taco Bell in probably a year. You know, I typically say Drake, and they hear Drake. They're like, name? Like, Garrett. And they go, Tyree? Like, yeah, nope, that's not the one. It's Drake. And they're like, oh, okay. But tried my first name again, and I got Tyree this time.
Hmm.
So now I am Tyree. Tyree Drake is my name, Jacob. Anything like interesting happened to you this week?
Not really. I can't think of anything.
Not at all?
No.
Okay, well, there's three interesting things, not really interesting, but exciting things about this episode. One, we have a brand new candle, which is probably not smart to be burning it in the middle of the summertime, considering how hot it is in this room. But I couldn't resist. It's a mahogany teakwood scent. It's called Intensity. It's a high intensity version. So it's flourishing through this room and filling our nostrils with wonderful scents, bringing us down and keeping us easy. To combat the Elijah Craig, Craig, Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey, Jacob. Thank you for bringing it with you. We're going to get smashed on the podcast and talk video games. It's going to be sick.
I don't know about that, but we will have a few drinks.
We did. And lastly, the Baldman, Mr. Preston Pugh, our beloved host, could not be with us today. He's been moving all weekend. He says it's been absolutely... Can I sip this water out real quick?
Sure.
One moment. Okay, we're good. But Preston was physically so busy that he couldn't even Skype in with us, which is a little disappointing, but we are literally doing this podcast last minute to get it out on time. And thank you to each and every one of you, whether it be on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, Audio Boom, Stitcher, Spreaker, a bunch of other podcasting services. I forget the names of wherever you are out there in the world. Thank you so much for being here with Jacob and I. We're very excited to talk video games with you guys, and it's an honor and pleasure to have you among us. But Jacob, you want to toast to 102 episodes of the podcast.
Yes.
Also, 1,500 subscribers.
We have 1,500 now.
We do.
No way.
And I don't know if this is a glitch, but I'm hoping it's true and maybe something will just update and we'll have 2K subscribers. But on our page, it says 1,500. But I go to another section, it says 2K. So I'm like, do we have 2K?
What?
And we got 500 so quickly that it's trying to catch up? Or is that not the case?
So.
I wish it was 2K. Yeah. That'd be pretty cool. But we'll get there eventually. Our goal is to hit 2K by the end of the year.
It is.
We're slightly ahead
of
schedule.
Actually, it's 5K.
That's true. In my heart, it's 5K. In my mind, it's 2K. But we are slightly ahead of schedule. We needed 500 more. We started at 1,000 beginning of the year. We've hit 1,500 by May, slightly before June. So we're a little under halfway through 2017. So let's toast to 2K subscribers and all those beautiful people out there tuning in.
Yes.
Please share your thoughts on this episode. We'd love to hear from you.
Cheers.
Also, cheers to your exquisite breasts, Jacob.
Oh, thank you so much. I love your hair.
I appreciate that. That's some good bourbon whiskey. Straight from Elijah Craig. You know, I heard a rumor that it's Elijah Craig's urine. Did you know that?
That's fake.
Elijah Craig.
That's fake news.
No. I heard this on Facebook, so I know it's true.
Oh.
It was someone's status.
Yeah.
So Elijah Craig allegedly urinates into wooden barrels, and they ferment for about 2,000 years.
I don't think they'd appreciate this if they heard you speak about
their... slowly becomes...
their whiskey.
This delicious Kentucky Straight Bourbon whiskey. Now, the secret is, it isn't just regular urine, like water that turns into urine. It's actually old whiskey that he consumes and then urinates into these barrels.
Oh.
And creates this unique taste that we're enjoying today.
Oh, I don't think we're ever going to get sponsored by them now, so thanks.
No, you know, well, I think...
You just gave away their secret formula.
I did, but granted, it's not... I'm just regurgitating the quote-unquote fake news I read on Facebook, because you can believe everything you see on Facebook. You get that?
Fake news.
Remember that. I want everyone to remember that. It's very crucial.
For
consuming news, go straight to Facebook.
Yep. Don't check any news source besides Facebook.
Absolutely, Jacob.
You don't want to, you know, distort your thoughts.
Absolutely. Yes, certainly. And actually, the best way to find out news and provide news for others is just to create it yourself.
Yes.
Just like this Elijah Craig urine whiskey.
Yep.
So it's out there in the world now for at least 1,000 people to spread amongst their friends and family. But Jacob, tell me what video games you played this week.
I played some Persona 5.
That's
and,
cool.
And let's see. I beat the fifth palace.
Did you?
Yes.
Congratulations.
Very... very cool palace, I'd say.
Okay.
The boss fight was a little frustrating.
Was it more frustrating than the second palace? Madarame? Yeah. Okay, no. Is that so far the most frustrating boss battle?
Probably.
Okay, that's good to know, because I'm just past that. I have a lot more of the game
to
play. I
take that back. The fourth palace boss fight's a little challenging.
Okay.
But once you figure it out, it's not that bad.
Alrighty.
I guess it's kind of like the second one in that way, too. Mm. But yeah, they're both kind of like on the equal level as far as toughness. But yeah, I did that. And I'm still in that, like, you know, the deadline period where you have to just wait for it to catch up. So I'm just hanging out with my confidants and stuff.
Okay, just keeping it real.
Yeah, you know, hitting some baseballs in the batting cage sometimes.
Have you gotten better at movies. That?
Yeah, I finally hit the target.
Nice. Yeah. No, I still haven't hit one.
Oh, once you can read a book and it'll let you use, you know how you can press hold L1 in the palaces?
I do, yeah.
What's that called?
Don't ask me because I haven't played the game in weeks.
It's called Third Eye.
That's right. That's
you can slow down the baseball so you can time it correctly.
Really? Yeah, okay. So that's the secret.
Yes.
Now you can use Third Eye outside of the palaces?
Only in the batting cages.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. And you can use it in mementos, obviously.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm still really enjoying Persona.
That's cool.
Hopefully I can beat it this week. I don't know. I've kind of been really slowing down ever since I got this new job. But you know, we'll see what happens. Maybe I'll be done. Maybe I will be done this week. Maybe, you know, the next week.
Okay.
So, time will tell. But I also played some Overwatch.
Mm-hmm.
We did a stream, correct?
We did. Thursday night we did, yeah.
Right. And that was fun. I mean, we lost a lot.
We did. We played with a bunch of friends, too. I believe we played with Harley, Sam Harris. Who else? Saron was there.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's how you pronounce it.
Flash.
Experiment was there. Flash is Sam Harris, okay, yeah. And there was one more, I think, if I'm not mistaken. Please forgive me that I'm forgetting your name. It's just, it's hard to remember. Thursday feels like a lifetime ago. But we did lose every match, I believe, except for one or two.
Yeah, we won one.
And that's because Experiment joined, and he was incredible. Mm. So shout out to you, Experiment. You brought us to victory. Couldn't have done it without you.
Yeah.
So, good times. I love Overwatch.
Yeah, played Overwatch. Anything else? We played that Mario Kart at our friend Evans the other night.
Mm-hmm.
Which was fun.
Yeah.
Nice. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've been playing Heroes of the Storm.
Have you?
Yeah.
On your Mac?
Yeah.
Does it run all right?
Yeah.
You play on decently
high
settings?
I don't have, like, ultra settings, you know, but okay. It's, like, normal.
So it doesn't look cel-shaded like we'd played on
Diablo.
It looks
a little shaded.
Okay.
But it's not, like, terrible.
All righty.
I mean, I don't have the strongest graphics card.
Now, that's
Mac,
Blizzard's MOBA, correct?
Yes.
Okay. How are you liking it?
It's fun. I mean, I guess the coolest part for me is I know most of these characters in the game because they're from all different Blizzard franchises.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I was like using Tracer once. She's really fun to use. Genji.
Nice.
But, yeah. I don't know. It's hard to explain a MOBA without you ever really playing it. So, it's fun though. Like, I'm only playing it for the Overwatch rewards. You heard about that?
No, I have not.
You play Heroes.
Oh, don't you get skins?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I got the Oni Genji skin for the first quest.
Dude,
and the
Genji
second
looks
one.
So cool.
Yeah, and that's how I got the Police Diva skin.
Okay.
You have to play 10 matches with a friend.
Nice. So I could download Heroes of the Storm and play.
Yeah,
and
you could get all that stuff, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You know what I'm so
it's
upset
pretty
about?
Fun. What are you upset
I wanted
about?
To play Quake Champions so bad on PC, but it's you. Only for Windows. It's not for Mac. I looked into it. It really upset me because, you know, I love me some Doom, and I think Quake Champions looks awesome. I love those fast-paced arena shooters, and I'm incapable of playing it, unfortunately.
Right. That's how I feel about Overwatch. Mm-hmm. You know, I play it on my Mac.
Yeah, it's such a shame, dude. I so desperately wish I could afford a gaming PC.
Me too.
I feel like I'd bring our content to the next level and my gaming life to the next level.
I probably could in a couple months.
You think so?
Yeah.
I definitely could not.
I'm tempted to do it.
The next 2 years of my life will be consumed by school and a very small weekend. Job opportunities.
Yeah. You got to save that money.
I'm considering getting into your business of selling myself on the street.
Yes.
I was thinking of being your Igor. I could be your Igor.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you could act like a medieval knight. Mm-hmm. I could be like, Master, wait. I could be like a hunchback. Wait. Like the guy from 300.
Yeah.
I would cosplay as that guy. And, you know, the freaky people would be into that.
Yeah.
And I could be as kinky as you want me to be, Jacob.
Exactly.
I can really pull that off, I believe. So that's my final... My final call, I believe. It'll be my last resort. Yeah. Nothing else works out.
You have to keep the hair, too.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I will do something unique with it, for sure. You can count on that. But, Jacob, games I played, I have actually beaten Little Nightmares. Now, we have parts 1 through 4 of my solo walkthrough on the YouTube channel. If you have any interest in me talking, you know, my commentary over Little Nightmares, I absolutely love the game. I should say I loved the game. I have beaten it, and part 5 will be out later this week for those that have been keeping up with the series. I greatly appreciate all the support, and those of you that have taken the time to watch them. I've had a ton of fun making them, and it's a amazing game. I love it. And it's funny because it was one of those games that I just happened to stumble upon. I think it may have been E3 last year. It may have been a different event, maybe Gamescom or something. But it was a random demo I came across. I didn't even see it on it. I know major gaming outlets have covered it now, but at the time I saw it on some random little YouTube channel that shared the trailer. Piqued my interest. I thought it looked beautiful artistically. And gameplay wise, it just gave me that Inside / Limbo vibe. And that's why it sparked my interest, because at the time I was playing through Inside. So played all the way through, and the ending blew my mind. I'm sure other people that have either played the game or have heard about the ending have seen or heard that it is pretty crazy and not at all what I was expecting. A little vague, but that's what has my curiosity just raging, because I'm searching frantically. It's kind of like the ending of Inside. You just don't know what to do with yourself. Like, what do I do? It's like searching frantically for the answer. So apparently there might be story DLC for it, which I really hope so. I think it'd be really cool, but yeah. Really cool ending, totally unexpected. Beautiful world. I love playing through it, and I loved it. So I greatly recommend it to any who are interested or on the fence about playing it. Totally play through. It's very short, too. It's only a couple hours, I think.
That's cool.
So Zelda. I played a lot of Breath of the Wild this week. I've officially transitioned to any free time I have for video games. I'm going to give it all to Breath of the Wild to get all the way through it, because it's been out for, since when, March now?
Yep, early March.
So I want to get through that. I have completed all of the Divine Beasts. I have a little under half of the shrines left. So all I'm doing right now is searching for shrines and occasionally doing a side quest if it'll benefit me in some way. Yeah. But having a ton of fun with it, and like I said, I get addicted to it very easily. Last night I got home from playing Mario Kart at like 2 a.m. I think, or 3 a.m. I ate a bowl of cereal. I was like, I don't want to go to bed on a full stomach of mini wheats. Delicious mini wheats, by the way. I actually used some of Elijah Craig's urine to compliment them.
Oh,
it was delicious. But so I was like, I'm gonna stay up for about an hour and play some Legend of Zelda. And next time I looked at my clock, it was almost 7 a.m. I had not stopped playing, and I had an absolute blast with it. So I'm just gonna go back to it every time I have free time until I get.
Did you play on the tablet or the TV?
I played on the TV for the first time with the Pro Controller. I think that's why I was so glued to it. Just didn't even think about the time, because it just feels so good. And it looks a little better on the TV too, obviously. So crap ton of fun. I'm so excited to be playing it again. And afterwards, I will more than likely jump into Persona and do my best to finish that. Hopefully by the end of the summer. Like I've said 100 times, between work and school, doing all these videos, it's nearly impossible for me to sit down for more than a couple hours at a time to play a game.
Yeah.
But and then I totally forgot, in addition, I think it was addition to Overwatch, or it was Tuesday night stream, we did Mario Kart and then the zombie stream in Black Ops 3? It was Black Ops 3.
No, it was Infinite Warfare.
Infinite Warfare, that's right. I'm losing my mind. I think I have Black Ops 3 in the mind because of the DLC. That was a fun stream as well, and I like the zombies a lot. I don't play it often, but I had a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, it's fun.
But speaking of zombies, we don't have to really include it in the news. I guess it could have been one of our news nugs, our new segment. But I think it's cool that the Black Ops 3 is remastering the original Zombies map.
Yeah.
And their Zombies Chronicles DLC. Mm-hmm. That's cool. I saw some of the, I think it was a brief teaser trailer showing some of the up-resed images. It looks awesome.
Do you know when it's coming out?
It might have said in the trailer, but I forgot. Yeah. So
We ought to do some Let's Plays or, you know, a live stream or something for that.
Oh, I agree. Me and Preston played hours of the original Zombies together, so I'd love to. Yeah. But I think that's all I played this week, Jacob. Anything else on the mind before we jump in?
Not that I can think of.
Okay. Well, everyone tuning in, please forgive me for botching this intro, but this is the It's Obvious podcast, the show where my two best friends and I, today it's just the two of us, but gather every week to discuss video games, obviously. If you enjoy this podcast, you can join us on youtube.com/itsobviousgaming. It is our home base where all of our additional content is included. That includes Let's Plays, our additional show that's currently exclusive to YouTube, Ask IOG, which is a show fueled exclusively by community questions. We're loving that. I have a new episode coming this Friday, if you're listening on Monday or any other time before Friday. That will be Friday the 19th. And what else? We do some unboxings occasionally. Occasionally, we'll do some reviews. I think that's all we do on this channel, at least for now. As we grow, and if we ever, Lord willing, this becomes a full-time gig, we will expand our horizons into additional programs. Not programs, Jacob. Remember, programs and features for this channel. We're loving every minute of it, and we can't thank you enough for the continued support. And I know there's a million other things Preston says, but I'll get to that at the end, I guess. But that being said, Jacob, let's jump into the news.
Let's do it. Hey, man, what's that news?
Dude, Got two big Western stories coming out of NerdMuch.com. Shout out to NerdMuch if anyone from NerdMuch is listening. I know Christine has in the past. If you're listening, I just want to give a shout out to NerdMuch because they are a phenomenal gaming and movie and just nerd culture website that I think, I don't know if they go unappreciated, but I greatly appreciate them because I go to them before IGN and everyone because sometimes they'll have stories that no one else has even talked about. And right. Sometimes they'll have them first. And I like to think they're the underdog of news media and we're like an underdog gaming podcast.
Yeah.
So we're kind of like brothers in arms in a way.
I got you.
So I wish them the very best as they go forward. But this one specifically comes from Rise Pocket. Now, I don't know if it's Rye or Rise. Would you call this Rye with a silent S in the end?
Yeah.
I think it's Rye Pocket Stew. But Christine, if you're tuning in, I'm under the assumption that he's either your spouse or family member, maybe a sibling. I don't know. But he also writes great articles. The Puckett's Chew, I don't know if you call them brother and sister, the siblings, brothers.
Yes.
Husband and wife. Whatever they might be. I mean, Rye might be a woman for all I know. I haven't investigated. I haven't stalked NerdMuch's profiles.
Where are you getting with this?
Whoever you are, thank you so much for the details. But as Far Cry, the Western has been rumored, Jacob.
Interesting.
It says the same printing company employee, not the company itself, but a single employee who also leaked the Assassin's Creed Origins artwork or image or whatever, has leaked info concerning the potential, not potential. Hey, Jacob, this whiskey's already getting to me, but I've only got a couple sips. I'm such a lightweight. Potential next Far Cry game, a live action... some sort of trailer was seen in and around a church in Montana and was being shot there.
Mm.
It says the game's rumored to be coming in September. That's just a rumor. But producer Jeff Gillett says it's a sequel to an existing global franchise. So they don't know if it's actually Far Cry, but in Ubisoft's timeline, Far Cry should be next.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping it's the next Far Cry, and I'm hoping it's a Western, because I think that sounds so cool. Now, I never played Primal, but I was totally intrigued by the idea and all the gameplay I've seen from Primal. I think it looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And me personally, I love the Far Cry game, so I'd love to see them tackle a Western. Now, that being said, they will no doubt be competing with Red Dead.
Yeah.
Now, Red Dead can come out anytime between late September through November.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess it's going to come out in either late September or maybe October. I could see an October
release. I don't want it to come out in September because of Destiny 2.
Exactly.
That's going to have all my time.
I don't think Red Dead's worried about competing with anyone, but I'd imagine other people are worried about competing with Red Dead, especially if Far Cry is going to be a Western. Now, keep in mind, this could be a total lie. It could all be fake for all I know. Yeah. But I like to speculate. I'm a dreamer, Jacob, as I've said. Now, as I said, a Far Cry Western sounds really cool to me. So I don't know if it'll be coming or not, but if it does, they will indeed be competing with Red Dead. And I actually think that's very interesting to have two, gameplay-wise, pretty different experiences.
I know.
They're both open world, but I guess one's first person, one's third.
Right. I know Assassin's Creed is going to be a Western, but it's going to be supposedly taking place in Egypt. And that's also a desert.
Interesting. So when you say Western, do you mean like late 1800s, early 1900s in Egypt?
No. I mean like they both have deserts. Like Westerns take place in deserts. Egypt is a desert.
Okay.
So
threw me off there for a second. Yeah. Like that's kind of bizarre.
I just mean like we're going to have a lot of the same settings
if all
three of those games are coming out this fall.
I see. No, but I think I'm very intrigued by that idea. I think it sounds awesome. And I mean, there's only so much you can say about that, but just the Far Cry gameplay. I mean, think about, it's kind of a common thing in Far Cry games to take over establishments like or villages for instance in Primal or in Far Cry 4. There's these big towers you can take down and climb and everything,
right? Yeah.
But I think it'd be cool in a Western themed Far Cry if there were bandit encampments that you had to like run into and just all out gun them down on your horseback. Or sneaking in and stabbing them to death. I don't know, but I think it sounds cool. So maybe you can use a lasso and tie someone up kind of like in Red Dead and drag them behind your horse. I imagine it just being basically a first-person Red Dead.
Right.
So, again,
I mean,
could be totally fake.
I've always liked Far Cry, sure, but it's never been, like, my favorite game, like, of the fall or whatever. They're just fine games. So, I am excited, whatever it might be.
I forgot that I platinumed Far Cry 4.
Did you?
I did, yeah. Nice. It was one of my 8 platinums, I think.
I think I played it on Xbox. So.
Okay. Oh, yeah, you did. That was before you jumped into the PS4 exclusive lifestyle.
That's right.
So, yeah, speaking of Westerns, Jacob, this is another one from Mr. Rise Puckett's Jew. This is about Wild West Online. Now, there was an image released earlier this week that was mistaken for being a Red Dead 2 image, but it's actually from Wild West Online.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an article from Mr. Puckett's Jew. It says, quote, developer 612 Games were tired of waiting for Red Dead Redemption to come to PC, so out popped the idea for Wild West Online. This is a sprawling open world based on all the things that made Red Dead Redemption's online mode great. This is an MMO where players can form gangs to either break or defend the law. But that isn't all. It's good rhyming there.
Mm.
As with most MMOs, this one is trying to stand out by allowing players to exist on much smaller servers where a few hundred folks will struggle to survive the harsh world of the Wild West. That doesn't mean you'll be killing your way through quests, however. As in the Wild West Online, you can become a literal part of the community, from a gold miner to a farmer.
Hmm.
The economy of each town will be created completely by players and how they choose to build their camps or towns. There will not be a general story for players to follow, according to Bugage. I believe he's one of the developers or designers. Though the developers have been discussing the idea in order to keep the players motivated and playing the game, end quote. So I think that sounds really cool.
Interesting.
Very interesting idea for an MMO. Now, I always have imagined what it would be like to play a Western MMO. I think the closest they've come is Red Dead Online and the original Red Dead, but I think this sounds really cool. Now, I wouldn't necessarily want to play a farmer, but I'd definitely love to play a gang member in a Western MMO. I think that sounds really cool. And the fact that all the players, and I love how it's confined to a few hundred and they can create this thriving community, but you got to imagine who's actually going to play as a farmer or a gold miner.
It might just be like a job that you do to make money. You know?
I guess
like,
so. But
then in your other time, you're a cowboy.
Yeah, everyone's just going to be running around shooting each other, being cowboys.
Yeah.
You ever dreamed of being a cowboy, Jacob?
I have, yeah.
Yeah, I think I was a cowboy once as a kid for Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
I was either a cowboy or I was Woody from Toy Story, which is basically the same thing.
That's part of the reason why McCree is so cool in Overwatch, because he's a cowboy.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's nothing more American than cowboys.
Mm-hmm. It's high noon.
That's right.
Amen, brother. You can pretend you're McCree in Wild West Online if you'd like.
I wonder if there's going to be like a typical MMO gear system, like you're getting new cowboy hats that have better stats, you know, or better revolvers, you know.
That'd be hilarious. Yeah, this flat-brimmed cowboy hat gives you better accuracy in your revolver.
Yeah, more range.
Yeah, on your pea shooter, boy. These horseshoes make your horse stamina go up significantly. No, but I think that sounds really cool, Jacob. I'd love to play some Wild West Online. I don't have a gaming PC, so my chances are slim to none.
Yeah, there you go.
But I love the idea. Jacob, we're moving on to News Nugs, our new segment. That name's going to stick at this point because I think it's hilarious.
News Nugs.
Unless someone can give us a better title for our lightning round segment. Jacob, number one. Now, lightning strikes really quick, so you got to stick with me here.
I'm ready.
Kingdom Hearts 3. According to industry insider Red Makuzuwa? Makuzuwa? How would you say that?
I guess, yeah.
Makuzuwa. Kingdom Hearts 3 had a trailer ready to debut in April, but due to development issues, a new trailer will now debut at E3 2017. The insider also stated the game would be coming out in 2018 with cuts in place so that there would be no more delay.
Oh, man.
Now, Jacob, this is awesome, but also heart-wrenching for me. Now, hopefully all is well, but the fact that we will get a trailer at E3, that's awesome.
Yes.
I'm very excited. And the fact that they're claiming it's going to come out in 2018, that's great as well.
That's good news.
I'm ready to get my hands on the game, but the fact that they're saying there are being cuts made to the game in order to get it out kind of rubs me the wrong way, Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if like, oh, we had Star Wars in the game, but you know, to get it out on time, we cut it out.
I think they mean cuts in terms of like goals or deadlines that they're going to meet along the way.
Maybe.
I don't know if they're going to cut stuff out of the game directly.
I hope not. I'm sure the main story will be there, but I'm hoping there aren't key features or worlds that they've just completely cut in order to get it out on time. Now, I know confirmed ones are Tangled, Big Hero 6. I think there might be one more in there that's been confirmed.
Hercules.
Hercules? Okay. So, awesome. All three of those I'm excited for, especially Big Hero 6. I was fascinated by San Francisco.
Yeah.
You seen that movie?
Oh, yeah.
I think that city's so cool, and that movie's great.
It's one of my favorite Disney movies.
It's awesome. I'd love to watch it again. I haven't seen it in a while.
Good.
But I don't know. I wouldn't say I'm worried yet. I mean, we'll see based on a trailer. I'm sure it'll be an awesome trailer.
Yeah.
And hopefully 2018 is the case because we keep bringing this topic up every few months and get excited again.
I want to play it so bad.
And then
bad.
Preston likes to tear us down like, it's never happening, guys. It's not coming out for 3 years.
It's never coming out.
So, yeah. I've always said this. I'm a dreamer, Jacob. Right now, in my heart, it's coming in 2018. Yeah.
I forgot that I need to play the other Kingdom Hearts that I have. I have them all now.
You're right.
I totally forgot
that I got to pick that up as well.
Yeah.
I still got to get through Zelda and Persona.
Why are there so many games, man?
I don't know. It's awful, but so awesome at the same time.
Yeah.
I'm forever thankful for all the options we have. So I'm thankful for that because I remember when PS4 launched, there was hardly anything to play for months.
Know.
It was awful. It was so terrible. And me and Preston played the FIFA demo for hours on end just to enjoy our PS4s. So the next one's about the Diablo 3 Necromancer, Jacob. Blizzard's aiming for a second half of 2017 release. And Jacob, I think that Necromancer gameplay looks awesome. Did you check it out?
I did.
I think it looks great. And she looks like she's going to make an... I don't know if... I guess you can play he or she.
Yeah.
But it looks like the Necromancer is going to be an amazing support role based on the abilities I watched. Now, I don't remember all the names specifically. I didn't want to bore people with nailing them all out. But I like some of the ones that you can grab the essence from the corpses of people you've slain to kind of gather their power.
It's a pet-based class, too.
Yeah, the one where you can spawn that blood demon guy. Yeah.
That's and there's cool. like skeletal... minions and stuff.
That's awesome.
That's cool.
I think Necromancer looks really cool. I love the role that he or she will play on the team.
I wouldn't mind getting back into
Diablo. I was thinking the same thing. The only thing that sucks, though, is that one person would get to play as the Necromancer and have all the new fun.
I think you can have multiple.
I guess you could, but then I just feel like it defeats
the
purpose.
You could all play Necromancer.
Yeah. I just feel like it defeats the purpose of having like a balanced, strong team. I guess everyone in their own way could still contribute to a Diablo team.
Yeah. But everyone has their own potion, I mean.
Yeah. That's true. I mean, they all help in their own way.
Each have different builds.
I could just continue with my monk that I started. I liked my monk a lot. My final playthrough.
That's
before
the only...
I think we jumped... It was a Destiny we jumped into after Diablo 3 on PS4.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fun stuff. I played a little bit when... I played on Xbox with a friend a couple years ago. Actually, it was last year. I played
Diablo
a lot
3?
In the springtime.
I remember
about
you talking
from
about
this
that.
Time, yeah.
I remember you talking about that, yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah, well, Halo E3 2017 details have been announced. According to Halo community manager Brian Gerard, Halo 6 will not be revealed at E3 2017. Jacob,
oh, no.
Which is fine with me, but they do have a little something, quote, little something planned for the show. Now, I'm not really disappointed about Halo 6. Honestly, as much as I enjoy Halo 5's multiplayer, the story was not intriguing to me at all. Intriguing is my freaking word of the podcast. Please forgive me.
You want to know what I think the surprise is?
What's that?
They're remastering Halo 3. They're pushing it out for an update for Master Chief Collection.
Now, I've slightly teased that idea in my mind. I'd like that to be the case. And I think I don't know if it needs a remaster, especially being running at a solid 60 frames in Master Chief Collection. It kind of seems pointless to me, but I wouldn't be opposed to that at all. I'd definitely play it.
I forgot that it was pushed to 60. 3.
What's that?
Is it 30 or 60?
What?
In Halo 3.
It's 60. In Halo 3 remastered for, not really remastered,
the Master Chief Collection.
Master Chief Collection, it's all 60 frames.
Oh, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, like I said, I don't know if it's really needed, but I would definitely play it regardless. But
yeah.
I'm not disappointed about Halo 6 not being there. So that's whatever. Hopefully they have
something.
They
better
have something. Yeah, I mean, they'll have the Scorpio. That's big. But
it's not a game.
Yeah, games wise, I'm hoping they surprise us with something.
I think
they're
going to have two or three really big franchises coming out. And they're new IPs.
You think so?
Yeah, and people are going to be really excited about them.
I hope so. Maybe they'll revive Scalebound.
Yeah.
Scalebound's coming back. It's going to be awesome.
I think one's going to be an awesome RPG.
You think so?
I don't know what it's going to be, but
I love RPGs.
We'll see.
That'd be great. We will
I think
see.
Microsoft's going to have a really good E3.
It's a bold
you heard
prediction.
It here first.
All right. I'll believe you. I mean, I was impressed with their conference last year, so it wasn't disappointing to me at all.
It's going to be for exclusives, not for, like, you know, whatever else they do.
Right. Okay. Well, we'll hold you to it, Jacob. We're a little, we're about a month out. From E3 2017.
I'm very excited.
Stoked. Jacob, lastly in News Nugs, the Thief movie, which I had no idea was coming into fruition, is launching alongside the fifth game sequel. You have any idea how I reacted when I read this news?
You jumped up with joy.
Well, I threw up instantly because I couldn't contain my excitement. I then proceeded to shat my pants, and I was in the middle of the street walking, and everyone saw. But as soon as I said the fifth Thief sequel is coming alongside the Thief movie, everything that all started happening to everyone around me as well. Everyone started throwing up and crapping their pants. There's a crap fest in the middle of the streets of Atlanta.
I can only imagine.
Yeah, it was incredible. It was a very wonderful bonding experience with the community around me.
Yep.
Getting
excited
about
Thief. See
what
happened to me? I took a huge gulp of my drink when I looked at my phone and saw that the fifth Thief game is coming out, plus a movie. I instantly spit the drink out onto someone.
Right.
Then I told them what happened, and they also spit their drink into me.
No way.
And then people beside us overheard that it was coming out, and they started spitting their drinks out of their mouths.
No way. You're all just soaked.
Yeah, we were all soaked.
You all start making out after that?
No.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't that great.
Sorry, I let my imagination run a little wild there, Jacob. Yeah. No, but clearly we're all very excited about this. I had no idea a Thief movie was coming. I could see that being kind of cool. I'm all for a stealth thief movie, sure.
Yeah. Who's going to play Garrett?
Oh, me, obviously.
Yeah, you.
So, I mean, they have to cast someone named Garrett. They might as well cast me, the biggest fan of
Thief. That would
only
make sense.
So, but I guess that's kind of cool. I mean, I'd be interested in seeing the movie, but the Thief sequel.
Yeah.
Anything else I was excited for means nothing to me now.
Right.
That is the end-all be-all for me.
We don't need any more games.
No, and expect a full walkthrough and a 10 out of 10 review, regardless of what all the other critics say, from this channel.
Yep.
We know that Thief means everything to the gaming industry.
That's right. So. Couldn't have said it better myself.
And that'll do it for News Nugs, Jacob. That brings us to our main topic of the show. Now, Jacob, our main topic comes from a community member via community question section. It comes from D. Smitty.
Mm.
I'm excited about this one, Jacob. You really got my mind brewing, and thank the Lord we get community questions from y'all. We greatly appreciate them, because I kid you not, for the last month, maybe a little longer, we have struggled to find a main topic every single week. Unless a new game comes out, we get lucky, we can talk about our impressions of it.
Yeah.
But as far as news goes, there's really hasn't been anything newsworthy that's worth discussing more than a few minutes.
Yeah.
So huge shout out to all of you who sent us community questions for either Ask IOG and this podcast. But this one comes from D. Smitty, our main topic of the show. He says, "Hey, fellas, do any of you guys have any gaming accomplishments that you're proud of? Not trophy related, just something that you had the urge to complete or perfect. I recently completed a clean first encounter with the Corruptor on a very hard difficulty while playing Horizon. I just had this weird obsession with completing that battle without taking any damage. It literally took me hours and countless attempts, and I got no reward for it, but I felt so accomplished. Any similar stories?"
Mm-hmm.
Jacob, why don't you start us off? Any gaming accomplishments in your life that aren't necessarily trophy related, but just accomplishments you're proud of?
Probably one of my most proud achievements in video games would be when I played World of Warcraft. But the moment in particular that I'm speaking of, Garrett, was when my guild was the first to finish a raid in one of the expansions on the server that we were playing on. And there's
one of the first or the first?
One of the first. We finished second.
Okay. It's not an accomplishment. Okay. We'll catch you guys next time. Bye.
It was a pretty big deal.
That is cool.
Yeah. I played on this server called Blade Fist, and it was a medium populated server. So it wasn't like, you know, one of the big ones, but I don't know, just back in the day competing against everyone on the first few days of the raid coming out, and, you know, just that grind of, you know, feeling like you're on a time limit and trying to complete something the fastest is really an exhilarating experience.
No, it sounds like it.
Especially when
imagine.
You're into an MMO like I was.
Totally.
Just like trying to min-max my gear and trying to get the most DPS out of my character.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point I was the top, I played a rogue, and I was the top rogue on the server too, which is... It's kind of cool.
That is cool.
Because that's like thousands of players mm-hmm. that I'm better than at that class. So.
Yeah.
At least on that server. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's probably one of my most proud achievements.
Interesting.
But probably in my heyday of playing that game religiously like I did back in the day, it was probably my favorite experience in all of gaming.
I bet.
But, you know, I could never do it anymore because I have responsibilities now.
Yeah, it's so sad.
I'm not just going to high school, you know.
Growing up is just, it's cool and it's...
It kind of sucks, too.
Yeah, it kind of does suck. It mostly sucks, but there are those cool moments spliced in between. The suckery.
Yeah, there's a lot of good in being an adult.
I agree. Yeah, I imagine once we get past this really busy season of our lives, it'll be a little better. Maybe not. It can get worse as we go until we're dead.
You could have children.
You could have children. Yeah, I have no plans to have children anytime soon. Not opposed to it, I don't think, but not anytime soon for sure.
I still need my free time.
Yeah. You know what? It's going to be so weird.
What?
I mean, Preston will inevitably be a father probably before both of us. That's going to be weird, seeing my best friend become a father. I mean, I've been friends with Preston Pugh since I was in the second grade. Ever tell you I thought he was Hispanic when I first met him?
No.
First time I noticed Preston was in our second grade class. Now, apparently we had met each other previously at the pool. We both went to the same pool that was in his neighborhood, but it was considered a public pool when we were kids, when I was in kindergarten. Apparently, we encountered each other a few times, but never said anything to each other. But the first time I noticed Preston was in second grade, and it was at the beginning of the school year, right after summer. And I guess he was so tan at the time. And he has dark hair. I mean, I don't know if anyone...
Preston's never been tan.
I think Preston's been doing this show since he was bald. Yeah, he's been bald the whole time. Now, Preston can grow a full head of hair easy. He just doesn't like his hair, so he chooses to shave it. But at the time, Preston has very dark hair. And he was also very tan at the time. And I saw him... in the school gym, we were in the carpool. All the kids would wait in the gym for our parents to pick us up. And I was sitting next to him against this wall. I'll never forget this. I thought he was a Hispanic boy. And I don't know why that has any relevance to the story, but I just thought that was funny because the person has no Spanish in his blood whatsoever, at least as far as I know. So I thought that was funny, but I met him in second grade, and I've been best friends ever since.
Yeah.
It's weird to think that he's moved out of his parents' house indefinitely, and he's not married, but I imagine he's going to marry the woman that he's with at some point and have children, and that's strange. Yeah. Meanwhile, I'm like a high school student. I mean, I've always been pursuing things, and I've been succeeding at them. It's just I've taken so long to really get into school, and now that I'm committed, I've got to finish. Mm-hmm. So it's just strange how our lives are so different but intertwined at the same time. Yeah,
and they're always changing as well.
Right. How did we get on that topic?
I don't know.
I have no idea. I forgot. Anyway.
Oh, because I was talking about how we weren't kids anymore.
That's right. Yeah. I guess this is growing up, quote, Blink-182.
No more MMOs.
Yeah. No more MMOs for you, sir. Once you turn 25, it's over. So one of my gaming achievements, Jacob, is something I've mentioned very briefly in the past. It has to two of my achievements, actually, which I'm not even a diehard Call of Duty fan, but two of my biggest achievements have been in Call of Duty video games. Now, my first one was in Call of Duty 3 on Xbox 360. Now, this one was developed by Treyarch, which is funny because they've transitioned into being the underdog of Call of Duty development to the top dogs of Call of Duty development.
Yes.
Now, Infinity Ward I won't undermine because I think Infinite Warfare is a phenomenal Call of Duty game. Despite how much I dislike the multiplayer, I think overall that is...
Everyone else disagrees.
Yeah, I mean, the campaign is awesome.
Just look at the YouTube video.
Everyone who is on YouTube, I'm not saying our community, but most of the people that go to Call of Duty videos on YouTube all hate it just because they can.
Now, have you seen the like to dislike ratio on the World War II trailer?
World War II trailer?
Yeah.
Is it...
It's positive, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's positive, I'm sure. But it's still, surprisingly, there's a lot of negativity in the comments as well.
Just I think anything that Infinity Ward makes, they're going to dislike it.
I mean, Infinity Ward's not making World War II.
I know, but next title they make, they're going to hate it.
It's just a shame because Infinite Warfare, I mean, I know a lot of people still played it, and a lot of people have praised the campaign, but that campaign, I cannot suggest it enough. I mean, I've played a lot of shooter campaigns in my day, but Infinite Warfare is up there as one of the best for me. I loved it. But that being said, Call of Duty 3... was back when Treyarch was kind of just no one really cared. And Call of Duty 3 did fine because it came right after Call of Duty 2 and that was a huge success. But I not only did I love Call of Duty 3's multiplayer, but I was... And I'm never one to brag, but I'm purely just stating fact. I was amazing at Call of Duty 3 multiplayer. And I even when I'm good at a game, I'm never like, yeah, I'm good at that game. I'm just like, oh, I played well, cool. But I was legitimately, Jacob, I could not be stopped in that game. I was like, I was like a savant of Call of Duty 3.
Yeah.
My best matches, I'm not even exaggerating, I would always do capture the flag on any map. It was fine, but my favorite map was called Eater Dam in Call of Duty 3. It was very, for the most part, symmetrical map where it was just this big circle where there was a flag at one base and right across a broken bridge was like a big hole in the middle of the bridge, and across that bridge is the enemy flag. So it's just classic capture the flag. So I always played Axis because I can't remember the name of the rifle, the Axis sniper, the car, maybe it was the car. It was a scoped car, K-A-R. But that sniper I thought was way better than the American Springfield in Call of Duty 3. And that gun was my best friend, Jacob. I kid you not, my best matches, I had 200-plus kills in a single capture the flag match in Call of Duty. And there was only, I think there was maybe 8 people on each team, maybe 16 on each team. I think 24 players could play total, yeah. 16 on each team, I would get 200-plus kills in a match with a sniper rifle. And it wasn't just I was sitting on a rock sniping people. Sure, I'd do that too, but I could no-scope, Jacob. I could run across the map and jump off something like Zergriz style from Call of Duty 4. I wouldn't spin and do tricks, but I could jump off something and snipe someone. My favorite things to do, because there were vehicles in Call of Duty 3, there were Jeeps and tanks and motorcycles. My favorite thing to do was to post up on the side of the bridge or anywhere where I could have the bridge in distance. And when people would take the flag, not even the flag, but just drive a vehicle across the bridge, I would just snipe them out of their vehicle. And my favorite shots were because you go over a jump to make the jump across the hole in the bridge.
Yeah.
And I would purposely wait just to be stylistic, but they jump the bridge, and as soon as they get over the gap in the bridge, I'd snipe them out of the vehicle and the vehicle would go flying off the side of the bridge and explode. But my favorite thing to do would be when the team would drive a Jeep over, and there'd be two players, be one driving and one would jump out and grab our flag and take off. I would just, so satisfying, they'd be driving away, just snipe the guy with the flag and the flag drops and the guy like tries to turn around and I snipe him. So satisfying. Those are some of my favorite moments, sniping. But I was unstoppable, Jacob. 200 plus kills. And I've never been that good at any other multiplayer game. Sure, I've been decent at a lot of other ones, but never even come close to matching my skill level in Call of Duty 3. Yeah, I'm pretty good at Doom, but it was just something, I feel like there's extra, it's just cooler to not only be good at a shooter, like really good at a shooter, but be good with a sniper rifle specifically.
Yeah.
It was just awesome. So, and it helped that not all, but most shots, if it was like from the waist up, it was one shot, one kill. So none of that BS now where you get hit markers and stuff and other Call of Duty. You like shoot a guy in the neck and he's still running at you with a knife and stabs you. So, but yeah, I was just very good at it. And I've mentioned this often. It doesn't really have anything to do with my gaming accomplishments, but I consider that a great gaming accomplishment, as that being the multiplayer game that I was best at in my gaming history, at least thus far. Perhaps one will come along in the future that I'm even better at. Doubtful, but it's a possibility.
Gotcha.
But Call of Duty 3, man, I would, and this will never happen in a million years, but I would play the crap out of a remaster of Call of Duty 3. I loved that game. It's probably just because I'm so good at it. It really isn't that good of a game. The campaign's fine. Multiplayer's fine. But everything after Call of Duty 3 has been progressively better for Call of Duty multiplayer. And I don't mean like they've gotten better, but Call of Duty 4 really set the standard for what multiplayer should feel like in Call of Duty, and it kind of took off from there. But you know, I just consider that a great gaming accomplishment. I had a ton of fun with that game. Glitched to all hell, too, man. It was the glitchiest game I've ever played. Fascinating glitches. I think I've told people about the teleportation glitch in the game, where you could literally drive a Jeep. You have to get into it a weird way. Drive from your flag to the enemy flag. Grab their flag. Jump into the passenger seat of your car. And as soon as you transition with the flag into the driver's seat, your car will do a violent spin. And the whole game will glitch around you. And you'll poof appear where you first got into your Jeep to drive to the enemy flag. It's almost like a time travel / teleportation glitch, and score instantly. Unbelievable. You could fly through the sky if you had a team player with you. You just lay on the ground, you go prone and touch tips, your gun tips, or, you know, your tips if you want, and you would fly up in the air and land on invisible platforms in the sky. You could also get underground. I know a lot of people that would spam this one glitch on a capture the flag match where there's a flag on a hill. You could do this weird glitch where you get under the base and people just hide under the hill. You could not kill them with a machine gun that had infinite ammo, because there's a support class that could just have infinite and just mow everyone down the whole time. Drove me insane. But at least I knew how to get in there, so I could just go into the glitch and kill them if they did that.
Back out?
No, you have to kill yourself. But it's so funny that you can go into underground. It's like you can see everyone above you like running across, and you just go into a glitch and kill someone. It was funny.
Gotcha.
But that is one of my Call of Duty accomplishments. What's another one from you, Jacob?
You know, I've never been too great at games, you know. So the first time I played Bloodborne and I actually got through the whole game, it was quite the accomplishment for little old me, you know.
Especially the fact that you'd never played a Souls game or a game like it in the past.
Right, yeah. So I remember the first, I would say, week or so of playing this game, I didn't think I was going to be able to make it.
Mm-hmm.
For the longest time, I was stuck on a Father Gascon.
Is he the first boss?
He's the second.
Okay.
He can be the first, depending where you go.
Okay.
Remember, it's the cleric beast.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
You don't have to do the cleric beast, mm-hmm. I don't think. But, I remember spending that whole first week just trying to get past him. I was like, I can't do this. He moves so quickly, I can't react fast enough.
Yeah.
And, I felt like I was doing the game wrong. I was watching all these videos just trying to figure out what to do. But in the end, it's more about just, you know, repetition and just getting used to how the game feels and stuff.
Right.
But I remember when I fought, maybe that was a Dark Souls boss. I'm getting them mixed up now. Yeah,
what do they look like?
Yeah, it was a Dark Souls boss. Okay. But there's a lot of great moments in both of those games, honestly. Mm-hmm. I didn't finish Dark Souls 3, but I got pretty close. It was right before Dragon Slayer armor. Right.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, is Dragon Slayer before or after the Nameless King?
That's who I meant, the Nameless King.
Okay.
Yeah, I beat the armor guy.
Mm-hmm.
But beating a boss in those games is probably more satisfying than any boss in any other game, I would say.
Absolutely. It's very tension-relieving as well. I don't realize how tense I am
Sweat.
Until I beat them and I just release my tension. I literally feel like I've gotten a 30-minute workout because I'm so tense the whole time.
Like, holding the controller really tightly.
Mm-hmm.
But, Dark Souls, Bloodborne, I was able to get over that hump that some people are not able to get over, I guess.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, I know there's a lot of great, like, you know, people that love the Souls games that play them all the time, and they're like, not even that hard for them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, for me, that was my first experience in Bloodborne. So
totally.
That was a great accomplishment for me.
Yeah, one of my favorite Let's Plays we've ever done was that Bloodborne gameplay impressions video we did. It was you, me, Preston, and Zach was there. And we woke up early that morning. And by early in the morning, I think it was like noon. But we had stayed up all night, Preston trying to get used to playing the game so we didn't look like he sucked the whole time. And he spent like half an hour trying to beat Father Gascon, and he couldn't do it. And we're like, we'll get him next time. But I just loved... we like made coffee and shot a Let's Play. It was like right when we started the channel.
Yep.
We're all just... We're all skippy about it.
We did that for
it.
A Final Fantasy 15
demo impressions video. Yeah, I did a similar thing.
I remember that area when I got to it in the real game. I was like, this is where we did the demo.
Yeah, all that time ago, too.
No, yeah, it's the second area you go to.
That was one of my fondest memories. I don't know why that sticks out in my mind, that specific Bloodborne Let's Play. I mean, that video probably sucks. Yeah. But
I remember the Witcher video we did, too, early on that got really big. Mm-hmm. It was the one about the dragon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we put that ad, we put a tiny little ad. Let's see if this takes off. And we, like, did this stupid clickbait title. Like, we fight a dragon. Yeah. And granted, in the quest, they think it's a dragon. Yeah. And it's a wyvern.
All the comments are like, it's not a dragon.
Yeah, like, we know. It's just in the quest that says it's a dragon. It's a clickbait title. And we haven't done that since. But it's so funny if you scroll through our Let's Plays. It's like 100 views, 30 views, 60 views. It's like 54,000. It's like, what the F? So yeah, that was totally just an ad video we did just to see if it would take off, and it did, but nothing really happened because of that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that Bloodborne stuff was sticks out in my mind. I love doing that. But same for me. It's not one of my accomplishments, but Bloodborne was also my first Souls-like experience, and like you said, getting over that hump of what those games are like and what to expect, and sometimes what not to expect.
There's also a surprising amount of depth in those games, too.
There is. I was going
to
say that.
You know, what build you want to make and what weapons you want to use that exactly. go with that build. And
the fact that it's not totally symmetrical either, because right. there were like four or five bosses, not even including those, what do you call them? Those temples or something you can go in that give you additional challenges to fight bosses at the end.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I can't remember what they're called, but I didn't even know that stuff existed, because I got to the end of the game. It's like, hey, do you want to wake up now? It's like, oh, that sounds wonderful. I'd been through hell in the game. Wake up, and I beat the game. I was like, wow, I beat Bloodborne. That's so cool. And come to find out, there's like six other bosses
I missed.
You missed
all the optional bosses.
Yeah. And I goofed, too, because when you start over, you can go to New Game Plus, but it just takes your level from your previous save. Now, I had skipped four or five bosses, so I was so under-leveled that when I started over, the first wolf you fight in the game of Bloodborne, I couldn't even, every time I hit him, his health would not even deplete. That's how low-leveled I was. So I wasn't in the mood to starting the game completely over. My saves were all overwritten. I didn't have multiple saves, so like I couldn't go back or anything. I really goofed with Bloodborne, but I did beat it. And moving into Dark Souls 3, I won't consider this an accomplishment either, but I did, which I was proud of, because according to SoulsFan, Dark Souls 3 is the easiest one in the series.
Yeah,
I have Dark Souls 2. I haven't played it yet, so my backlog.
One more thing before I forget. The remember Vicar Amelia in Bloodborne?
I do.
That was the hardest boss for me in the game.
Really?
Yeah, that one.
I remember I beat her in a Let's Play because you and Preston helped me beat her.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I was so jealous because I couldn't get past her.
I remember that Let's Play, too. So,
but continue, please.
Yeah, no, but Dark Souls 3, I beat every single boss in the game, and I made sure of it, too. And I wanted to platinum the game so bad, but there are so many missable trophies that it was going to be a chore. I had the most detailed list of every single thing I had to do to get the trophies. And it was just too complicated. And by then I was ready to move on.
Yeah.
But I loved Dark Souls 3. I played it nonstop when it came out. And I was very happy with the fact that I beat every boss. And if you're a hardcore Souls fan, say what you will. But for me personally, I consider that an accomplishment. But I really enjoyed that one.
Yes. So
you don't think you'll ever go back to it?
I might.
Okay.
I'd like to. Because I've heard the DLC is really good.
I'm still not it's a Souls game, but Souls Inspired. I really want to play Neo at some point too. I think Neo looks awesome.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really want to play Neo.
I loved the beta I played from Neo, so mm-hmm. I definitely want to at some point. Lord knows when I will, but yeah. I definitely want to. But my next actual achievement or accomplishment, I should say, is also a Call of Duty accomplishment. I know that kind of sounds boring, but this is actually pretty fascinating. So I can't remember if it was Advanced Warfare or Black Ops 3, one of the two. I was struggling for about a week to play well at all. And you know, I'll have some bad matches, sure, but I never consecutively play just awful every single match. And I've had this ongoing joke, which I'm sort of joking and sort of serious when I say it, is that there came a point in my multiplayer shooter career where I pissed off someone so bad they literally cast a curse on me. And I believe that curse is being shot in the back in Call of Duty every single time I die. Nearly every single time I die. And that's why I get so frustrated with Call of Duty, not because I suck at it, because most people with hand-eye coordination can point and shoot in Call of Duty because the design is so fluid, so polished that it's very easy to just point and shoot, and most people can get kills fine. But every time I die, there was no firefight because I'd get killed instantly, and it would drive me freaking insane. That's why I lean more towards the arena stuff like Halo and Doom, because if I'm getting nicked in the back, I can turn around and at least fight for my life and survive. That's why I get so angry in Call of Duty. Now, about a solid week went by in whichever game it was, where I was just losing my mind. I was like, I cannot believe this. I just want to play Call of Duty with my friends, and I'm sucking tremendously. It's losing my mind. Drove me crazy. So I was complaining. There came a night where I was complaining so much that I was just mad at myself for complaining as much as I was. So I was like, I hate this game. It's so stupid. Oh, I didn't really say I hate it. I never say I hate a game because I suck at it. But I was like, this is so frustrating. I don't understand why this keeps happening. I was like, I swear every time I get... I almost made a montage as a joke about how many times I get killed in the back. It got to a point where it was so funny that it was unbelievable that it was hilarious. Anyway, so I was complaining. There came a match on some desert-ish town match. I can't remember what the map was called. But... We match started and I went 26-0 and I was not even shot once in the back, and everyone I shot was an actual firefighter. I didn't cheese it towards like, oh, I just snuck up on a bunch of people. It was like full on firefights in Call of Duty. 26-0, the only time I've ever done that. I don't think I've ever gone, gotten all kills and zero deaths in a multiplayer shooter ever. And of all games where it's the most hectic, Call of Duty is the one I get it in where you can die the easiest. I went 26-0. I thought that was a pretty cool accomplishment. That's never happened again, nor will it ever happen again. But it blew my mind that I was complaining all this time, and then I get super lucky. No one comes behind me, and I kill everyone I see. Mm. And that's not really a testament to my skill level. It might have been pure luck. But I just think that's so funny. 26-0 when I was sucking tremendously for a week straight and just complaining, and then the luck of the Irish, just giant smile upon me, 26-0.
Yeah.
So it's another accomplishment of mine. What about you, Jacob?
One more for me would be, I always talk about this, but I was a master at Mario Kart 64.
Yes, I distinctly remember playing against you. Let's play back.
Even then, I wasn't as good as I used to be.
Right, but you slaughtered Preston and I over and over again when we played.
Yeah. I think Preston might have beat me once. I don't remember. But, I mean, back in the day, when that game first came out, or I guess when I first got it, because I probably didn't get games when it first came out. But I literally just played that game every day forever. For at least 2 or 3 years, I played that game like every day, it seems like.
Mm-hmm.
My friends would always come over. And I had a lot of friends for some reason back in the day, because I don't know. I guess that's how everyone is, maybe. You have a lot of friends in school, and then you grow up, and they just kind of go away.
That's so sad.
It is. But I had a lot of friends in my neighborhood, and we all would come to my house and play Mario Kart in my basement. And I literally won every game because I owned the console and I always played the game, so I was always practicing. It didn't matter what character I used, just like no one ever got the items they needed to beat me. So, I don't know. I guess I'm just proud of being like the best at something, at least within my group of friends.
Right. That is cool.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think I've ever been the best at any game amongst my friends.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure I lost maybe sometimes, you know, but I don't know.
See, Zach Bynum and I were definitely the best Halo players in our group of friends, only because we were just diehards of the franchise and we played it relentlessly.
Yeah.
But he and I were very equally matched. I mean, every match we played, we would have nearly the exact same stats.
I remember watching you guys play.
And I think we had an unspoken rivalry against each other because we were both so good and we always played it together and we were nearly unstoppable in Halo. But
you two would carry teams.
Yeah, every time we would play against each other, there'd be a very... passive-aggressive frustration between the two of us, because whenever like the four of us would play split screen, he and I would just duke it out. Everyone else would kill each other too, but he and I specifically, dude, there'd be a little frustration every time we killed each other. But no, amazing, amazing memories playing Halo with Zach especially. I mean, all of our friends, we have great Halo memories.
I was so bad at Halo. I was bad at shooters back when I first started hanging out with
you guys. You've gotten good now. You kill it in Call of Duty when we play.
I think I'm decent at Overwatch and Call of Duty, but Halo I've never been good at.
Yeah, Halo,
and I'm good at Destiny.
Yeah, Halo has, I don't know how to really describe it, but it does, it's kind of an acquired taste. Not really just liking it, but just getting used to the way it feels and plays. And all of them are different too.
When I first started playing Halo, I had the hardest time of hitting headshots. I would always shoot the body.
And that's crucial too.
You know? That's why I was better in Call of Duty, you know, because it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I was trying so hard to think of multiplayer related Halo accomplishments I've had. I'm sure there's some fun ones out there that if they sparked in my memory, I'd remember. But specifically in Halo 3, I created a machinima. Now, if you don't know what machinima is, it is basically videos and or movies created using video games. And I was, at the time, obsessed with machinima.com. They had a lot of cool content on there. And one of my, and of course, Red vs. Blue is a huge inspiration to what I did. But specifically, I can't remember his name. He's the guy that did the RB and Chief videos. You remember that guy?
No.
Okay. Well, I don't know what, I can't remember what his name was, but he made RB and the Chief.
Okay.
Hilarious little action figure type machinima videos. And
you mean Arbiter and Master Chief?
Arbiter and Master, what did I say?
You said Arbiter and Chief.
Okay, yeah, it
was I was just making sure I understood.
Okay,
because I've never seen the show.
Yeah, the show was called RB and the Chief, and it's really funny. He used like the Microsoft talker guy. I can't remember what his name is. Kind of what Stephen Hawking uses to talk with the voices of the characters. Mm-hmm. But anyway, he had a series called Deus Ex Machina, I believe, or Deus Ex something. And it was a full-on, I was thinking of like 9 episodes of this. At the time, I thought it was well-written. I was in middle school, so I just thought it was cool to watch Halo turned into a short series. Yeah. And I had voiceover and like a story to it. And I just thought it was super cool. And it really inspired me to use the theater mode of Halo 3. So a day came where I just wanted to sit down and make. And this is the most bootleg, hilarious way I'd made this. I can't even believe now that I'm reflecting upon it, talking about it, I totally forgot how I brought this to life. So I wanted to make my own Halo machinima. And I had no idea what the story was going to be. But I thought it'd be simple to just have two characters on Valhalla in Halo 3 and have one be the target and one be the assassin. I think it was called... I think I was just called the assassin. It's on my old YouTube channel. Maybe I'll put it on Discord or something at some point. It's really funny to go back and watch. Yeah. But I went into a Halo match and I had split screen going. And all I did was take turns controlling each character to have their actions play out. And I would do multiple takes. Like if I did something, I didn't like the way it looked, I would do it multiple times. And basically, long story short, I mean, I'll put it on Discord so everyone can see it, but it was basically an assassin that goes out and chases after a target and kills him at the end. And it's a cool ending. Well, at least what I thought was a cool ending. But I played all the characters and did all what I wanted to do. And then you go into theater mode and you have to film it all. So what I did was I took a literal camcorder and put it on a tripod. And you know my third floor up in the top floor of my house? So we had that big flat screen up there back in the day.
Yeah.
Well, I moved that glass table out of the way and there's that long space in front of my TV. So I put the camcorder on a tripod and zoomed in the camcorder to fit the exact dimensions of the flat screen. So I recorded my gameplay with a camcorder recording
hilarious.
TV screen because I didn't have a capture card. I didn't even really know. I had an idea that capture cards existed, but I didn't really know how to go about acquiring one because I was in 9th grade, I think, at the time.
Right.
So I filmed my TV and I used the theater mode of Halo 3 to film all the actions I had done with my characters in the match that I'd played. So I got like what I thought were cool camera angles and blah, 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 and filmed the whole thing. Now, the total process, it was 26 hours straight because I was so obsessed with completing it. I have this weird problem. I don't know if it's a problem, but I have this habit where if I start something, like for example, if I start editing a podcast that we do or a Let's Play, I can't just stop in the middle of doing it. I have to finish it. So I can never, I'll knock out a few minutes here before class. Like if I start, it just, my mind takes over and I have to finish it. So same thing at this point, I had to finish what I had started without stopping. So I started at like, I think, I can't remember what time. It was sometime maybe in the morning or afternoon. I think it was in the morning. It was like 7 a.m. I had gotten up early. This is back in the day where I actually went to bed at a decent hour. I mean, nowadays I stay up till 6:30 playing Zelda. But so I woke up. I was like, I'm going to make my machinima today. So from the process of filming it all the way through editing and uploading it to YouTube, it was a 26-hour process nonstop. Wow. So it was funny. In the middle of filming my TV, a bunch of my friends came over and this one girl who had a huge crush on, and she had a crush on me. And I'll tell you about her later. I want to say her name on the podcast, but we had this little thing freshman year of high school and she came over and all my friends were like, let's play Manhunt. You know, we talked about Manhunt a couple of weeks ago and kissing girls in the woods. Well, this is one of those girls. I took a break just long enough to make out with this girl I had a crush on for about half an hour in the woods. And then I proceeded to go back in and finish my short film. But it was a great break because I needed a break and we had a good time in the woods. And we're like, all right, good to see you. Talk to you later. So that was my brief break making the machinima, but ended up filming it all, put it on. I used the, it was an editing software on my old computer. It was a desktop computer. I think it was called Movie Magic 12 or something. And I used to love that software. I got really proficient in it.
Yeah.
I edited the whole thing in that software, and I wanted to add voiceover and music. So what I did for voiceover was I took the camcorder into a quiet room, and all I did was just talk the lines into the camera. That's all I did.
Nice.
So I purposely made stupid voices. I think the assassin was like a British guy, like Jason Statham, like, where are you? And then the I don't know why I did this. The target was like some weird little kid. He was like, oh my gosh, leave me alone or something. He sounds like Alpha 5 from Power Rangers.
Right.
So I did that and I added in the voices wherever I wanted them. And long story short, I added Pirates of the Caribbean music to the whole thing. Added the sound effects. I had a bunch of sound effects in there. And that was my first experience with sound design in a film, which I thought was funny as a kid, recording sounds on my camcorder to implement them into the machinima. But it took
you
me
had to
20,
do what you had to do.
Yeah, it took me 26 hours. I uploaded it. I think it did pretty well on YouTube. I think it got I don't remember. I haven't looked at it. Maybe it has over 1,000 views. It could have 20 million for all I know. I have no idea. But it's funny because I poured my heart and soul into this thing, and I was so proud of it. And I haven't watched it in years. I don't know what it's like. It'd be the worst thing I've ever seen. But I was so proud of it at the time that I'd made a machinima and thrown out my own contribution to that community. And I was very proud of it. And I didn't really share it with anyone. I just put it on my personal YouTube channel. And I remember that this one kid 6 months later commented like, so-and-so's machinima is so much better than this piece of shit. And I didn't think much of it because I laugh at that kind of stuff. But Preston, in my defense at the time, was like, hey, man, he spent like 24 hours or something making this and he did a really good job. So screw off or something like that. And I was like, thanks, man. Hey, this guy's bullying
me. He did it
me.
On the YouTube comments?
Yeah. On his old YouTube channel. But, I just thought I had a ton of fun doing that.
I need
that.
To see that comment.
Oh, yeah. I'll show it to you. It's still out there. But I'll post the video on Discord because I totally forgot I'd made it. And I definitely consider it one of my accomplishments. Not only just with gaming, but just filmmaking because I am pursuing a film degree. And I have made short films in the past. But that's the only machinima I've ever made. And I've always thought about it'd be cool to make another one now that we have a capture card. I think it'd be cool to try something like that. And I have recording equipment where we could actually add real voiceover and stuff. But I'm not very good at writing creative stories. That'd be something very generic, like The Assassin, you know, something stupid like that. But no, I just had a blast doing that. And I definitely consider it one of my greatest gaming accomplishments, Jacob.
Nice.
You got any more for us?
Nah.
Nah? Yeah, I think that'll do it for me. I mean, like when we were talking about D. Smitty's question, I was like, there's got to be countless things I'm proud of, but these are the ones that really stick out in my mind.
I'm sure I've forgotten some stuff.
Yeah, we said this 100 times. Stories, especially even like accomplishments in gaming, they always spark depending on whatever conversation we've had. So I imagine going forward, if someone brings something up, something will spark in our minds. So, but Jacob, that'll do it for our main topic. That brings us to community questions.
Oh, man.
Our personal favorite segment of this podcast, because we get to speak with you all directly. And again, huge shout out to all of you who take the time to send us community questions, whether they land on the It's Obvious podcast or our new show, Ask IOG. Remember, exclusive to YouTube for all you Spotify listeners out there. Join us on YouTube to check it out. And it is our goal to eventually make Ask IOG a weekly program. Excuse me, program. That we can throw on podcasting services because we have a lot of fun with that. And it's designed to be a little more random. Sure, you can throw some gaming community questions at it as well, but it's designed to be more random about just life type questions to create funny stories and additional commentary about stuff from not only our lives, but your lives as well. So I encourage you guys to continue sending us questions. If you want your questions read on the show, you can reach us at itsobviousgaming@gmail.com or on Twitter at @obvious_gaming or submit your questions via our Discord channel in the Ask IOG section, and I can acquire them all from there, and we look forward to hearing from you guys. But number one comes from Daniel Freeman. He says, how are you guys doing? How are you doing, Jacob?
I'm well, thanks.
I'm doing well, too, Jacob. He says, awesome? Oh, yeah, we're doing awesome. He says, awesome? Cool. We are doing awesome. We're not doing well. Well, anyways, I was wondering which games have you guys played through the most times? I don't mean you 100% it over again. I just mean finishing the story. I played through all the Mass Effect games, not including Andromeda, about 10 plus times. Oh. And I still intend to do it again eventually. So what are yours?
I'm trying to think.
Dude, that's... Daniel, I just want to say, that's incredible. 10 plus times in all those
that's
Mass
ridiculous.
Effect games? That's unbelievable. I believe you. But in my mind, it's pretty spectacular. That's awesome.
Maybe for me, the first Kingdom Hearts.
First Kingdom Hearts,
I played through it 4 or 5 times.
Okay.
Trying to think here. Played through Uncharted 3, or Uncharted 4 3 times.
Oh, wow. Okay, I only played through it once.
For the Platinum.
Mm-hmm. That's one I could go back in Platinum if I really wanted to.
You could. I can't think, dude.
I'll list off some of my middle spark in your mind. I have played Batman Arkham City 5.5 times, and I only stopped my sixth playthrough because I think something else came out which stopped me. But I love Arkham City. That's my favorite game to date. And isn't necessarily like, oh, it's mechanically sound and it's totally polished and blah, 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 blah. It's the perfect game from start to finish. It's by no means perfect. I just love the story. I love all the characters. I think it's beautifully designed. I think that's my favorite iteration of Batman of all time is the Arkham series. I love the art style. I love the style of the characters. Just the design of all of it is just super cool to me. I love that world they've crafted. I love Rocksteady's Batman.
Did you ever play Ratchet & Clank Going Commando?
I did not. The only Ratchet & Clank I've played is the remaster.
I played that game through at least anywhere from 5 to 10 times.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I used to play Ratchet & Clank all the time. That game specifically, because you could upgrade your weapons.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you could in the original. Don't quote me on that. But if you could, I didn't know about it because I was too naive, I guess.
Right.
Being little old me.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I played Ratchet & Clank a ton. Going Commando.
I adore the remaster / reimagine.
I hope they make another one.
Me too, man. So bad. And speaking of Insomniac, and these rumors have been floating around for years at this point, I think, if I'm not mistaken, but Spyro the Dragon has been rumored again to be remastered. Jacob, I love that first Spyro game.
Spyros are
PS1. I don't even know what it was. I told you just these memories in my mind of waking up on a summer day playing Spyro the Dragon, then going to like Six Flags Whitewater or something, then coming back and playing it some more.
Mm-hmm.
Something about those days just is forever embedded into my mind, and I loved playing Spyro. I totally play it again. And I'd definitely go for the Platinum because I loved Platinum in Ratchet & Clank. That's by far one of my favorite Platinums. But I hope for that for sure.
It's one of the funnest ones.
It is. More games I've played multiple times, or the most times, I should say. I've played Super Mario World all the way through at least 5 or 6 times. I played it 3 or 4 times on Super Nintendo.
What do we mean by playing through? Like, is it just a single player games, or could it be like multiplayer where you just put so many hours into a game?
I would imagine more single player centric, but I guess multiplayer works too, especially if you're just a multiplayer guy. Like, I've played these many countless hours of multiplayer.
So I played probably the game I've played second most is Call of Duty Black Ops 2.
Okay.
I played that game religiously at a point too.
Great multiplayer.
Part of that period was when we lived in the apartment.
It was.
Before Ghost came out.
I'll never forget those days. We should just do one day on an Ask IOG episode just when we have Zach back. There's multiple things we need to tell stories of with Zach because they're not the same without Zach, but we just need to do a full topic discussion on the start to finish from our apartment living together because there was so many good times.
We should.
But, Super Mario, I think I played it again on my phone, actually. I got a weird emulator. A buddy in our metal band, we were in, jailbroke my phone temporarily, and I got Super Mario World on my iPhone at the time. And it controlled terribly, so I gave up on it. But I'm hoping to play it again on either the SNES Classic coming later this year or on Virtual Console on the Switch.
One of my
favorite games of all time, Super Mario World.
They need to get that Virtual Console going.
Me too. I'm waiting for it. I'm very excited. I mean, I've played every Halo game countless times. By countless, I mean probably 3 or 4 times each. But I've played Halo 3 at least 5 or 6 times as well. Love Halo 3. My favorite Halo campaign by far. So many quotable lines. One of my favorite lines is when, I think his name was Truth, that weird alien guy, when Arbiter and Master Chief break into wherever they're at and they kill all the Flood on the way to him. I guess you kill the Flood on the way back. You fight all the elites, the brutes all the way to this guy. Cutscene happens where he's on the ground and Arbiter's holding him by the neck and the guy's like, I am Prophet, I am Truth, and Arbiter just goes, so you must be silenced, and he just stabs him. I'm like, that's so badass. I mean, there's countless quotes, and Arbiter actually has cooler quotes than Master Chief to me. Master Chief has some good ones, but I love his catchphrase, word so easy. Never forget it at the end of Halo 3 where you think Master Chief's dead and what's his name's like, hard to believe he's dead, or hard to believe he's gone, and Arbiter just looks up into the sky, he's like, word so easy. Like, that's awesome. I always quote, too, whenever I'm in a car with someone that I'm not driving with. I always quote Arbiter at the end of Halo 3 where he's in his ship. And the guy's like, where to, Arbiter? And he goes, take us home. They fly out into space. I like quoting take us home. Arbiter's so cool. He's an awesome character. Which sucks because I don't remember anything he said in Halo 5. And he's in Halo 5. He looks like a badass, but I don't remember anything he says.
It's been a while.
I always love how they refer to Master Chief as the demon. Like, the demon. So cool. But Halo 3, I played multiple times. What's another one? There's another one out there. Time to look around my room for inspiration. I don't think I've played too many other games as many times as I played those. So those are probably my top three I've played the most. Any more from you, Jacob?
Not that I can think of.
Cool. You looking around my room for inspiration too, just in case?
Yep.
Yeah, my room always fails me because I have so many posters of different things. I'm like, one of these things has to spark my memory, and it never works. I don't know why I keep trying that.
Now, I've played a lot of games for many hours, but maybe not multiple playthroughs.
I feel you. Well, Daniel, thank you so much for your question, my friend. Again, hats off to you for completing all those Mass Effect games 10-plus times. That blows my mind. The next one comes from Jay Scriber. He says, hey, guys, what are each of your predictions for the storyline of Prey? Now, neither one of us are playing Prey, but I have played the demo. Have you seen the demo at all?
A little bit.
Okay. I included this because if I waited for Ask IOG, it'd probably be a little too late by then. We're not, neither Jacob and I aren't playing Prey, but my prediction is that Mr. Morgan, you wake up. Spoiler alert for the beginning of the game if you haven't played the demo or seen the beginning of the game, but this happens at the beginning, so it is a massive spoiler. It's just a cool reveal. You wake up realizing that you've been in a series of tests living the same day over and over and over again. And he tells you in a short video, like, oh, you know, whenever the neuromods are detached from your brain, you forget everything that happened while you had them in. So that's why he keeps repeating the same day over and over again. So I'm going to assume that something went awry with him where he, like, went crazy or something with these neuromods and they had to send him back to where he doesn't remember and they have to get him back to a point where he's stable or something.
Yeah.
I might have read that in a note too that hints towards that. That's what I'm going to assume. But I'm assuming he was once a crazy man doing all these crazy things. They had to kind of get him under control. And then obviously these mimics and phantoms of these, whatever they are, these aliens have gone crazy throughout the spaceship and have wrecked havoc. And now you have to clean it all up. As a spaceman, that's my prediction. Do you have any other
maybe
predictions?
Maybe you're an alien.
I could be
this
the
disease
alien.
Disease has been leaking from you.
That could be the twist. You could be the... I mean, technically, if you're in space, you're an alien. Yeah. Wherever you go, other than Earth.
You've just taken on the appearance of a human, maybe.
How crazy would that be? Yeah. What if Morgan Yu is not Morgan Yu? Is like a mimic who has taken on... has learned to take on the shape of human beings. Because they take on the shape of tangible objects. Yeah. What if they become human beings?
Yeah.
That'd be cool. Like, what if you encounter Morgan Yu in, like, a prison cell or something? He's like, who are you? Like... don't believe him. Don't believe anything. You're like looking at yourself, screaming at yourself. You're like, what's happening? Like, who's this guy? And it turns out that's the real Morgan Yu, and you're some mimic the whole game. That'd be kind of cool.
It'd be interesting.
It would.
It'd make sense as to why you're getting alien abilities.
Right. Everything I've seen from Prey looks awesome. I'm excited to jump into it at some point.
Yeah, me too.
I need to finish Breath of the Wild and Persona,
though. I need
to
finish Persona.
We're nearing that time, though.
Yep.
Thank you, Jay Scriber. The next one comes from Jay Herm.
Ooh.
I like these Jay names. Hey, guys. I've hit a weird point in my life gaming-wise. I find it difficult getting into games, specifically RPGs, recently, and I'm not sure why. I picked up Final Fantasy XV and Horizon and played maybe 10 hours total between the two. The only game that I don't get bored of is Overwatch, and maybe that means I've developed a new preferred gaming genre. Have you guys ever hit a slump like this and simply could not get into games?
Sure. It happened to me last year with, like, narrative games, I think. For the longest time, I was just playing Overwatch and WoW. Like, I passed over Doom because I was in this slump. I didn't play Dishonored 2. I didn't play Watch Dogs 2, right? It was the second one.
Excuse me, I burped.
There were several narrative games I didn't play last year just because I wasn't in the mood. So, what about you?
Sort of. Even maybe recently, I've had some opportunity to play Persona, but that's the kind of game where once you start playing it, you have to at least play for a couple hours, otherwise you're not really getting anywhere.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of dialogue, and you can't really skip over that because it's all crucial.
A lot is an understatement.
Right, so it isn't that I'm lazy about playing it, I'm just hesitant because I'm limited on my free time, and when I do play something, I don't always have a lot of time to commit.
You don't feel like you're making progress.
Right, so I've been hesitant to play that. I wouldn't say I'm really in a rut, though, of playing Persona. I do need to get back to it. And right now, it feels like a demanding chore only because I've held off for so long and I really got to get reinvested into it. But I just don't have the time on top of everything I'm doing. But I will get to it after Breath of the Wild. I imagine in the next month, I'll have beaten Breath of the Wild. I'm just going to really focus any free time I have on finding all those shrines and then taking out Ganon and probably call it a day till the DLC comes out.
It'll certainly help that there's not a lot of games coming out this summer, so.
Yeah, definitely. Unless it's huge reveal at E3, like, oh, we're dropping everything that was going to come out in the fall today. It's
We might have the Destiny 2 beta.
Yeah, now that I have to play. I will take a break from everything to play that for sure. But I haven't necessarily myself been in a rut because I just have. Now, this isn't a knock against anyone, but me personally, I just have such a heart for video games that there's always something for me to play on joy. Now, granted, I guess he's making a good point where he just kind of leaned towards more like Overwatch. Now, I've been in similar situations where I'm just purely in a mood to play multiplayer shooters. And now, Preston's more of a single-player guy. I'm more of a multiplayer guy. Not to say that I haven't enjoyed countless amazing single-player stories throughout my time playing games, but whenever it comes to shooters especially, I just love multiplayer. I love the unpredictability of these multiplayer games. I like you never really know what's going to happen, the skill level of other players, and especially in games that have sandboxes like Battlefield or Big Team Battle and Halo, for example, anything can happen, and that always has piqued my interest. In a campaign, you know what to expect, especially if you've played through it more than once. You just know all the beats of all of it. Multiplayer, it's always a surprise. Yep. So that's why I'm more of a multiplayer guy in shooters, but every now and then my mood will change where I'm like, I just want to play multiplayer. But
Speaking of always being into multiplayer, every single day since the game came out, Overwatch, I think about it, and I just want to play.
Multiplayer?
Every day? I have to like convince myself that I should be playing something else.
Right.
But I would play Overwatch every day if I wasn't interested in anything else.
Yeah, I feel you. It's cool because, I mean, I feel like a really big draw, but not only is it just a great game, but just the community and...
Yeah, that certainly helps. Yeah,
the exciting nature of the community built around it just always feels like there's something you're missing out on.
I look at the Reddit every night
playing.
Before I go to bed, just look at funny stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always love... Please keep sending me all those clips and funny pictures you send me from Overwatch from Reddit. I always appreciate them.
Okay.
It's always... Even if it's late at night, I'll be laying in bed and have a good chuckle to myself when I see them, so thank you. Yeah, Jerem, every now and then I'll get in a certain rut where I prefer multiplayer or single player, depending on my mood. So, you know, it happens.
Yes.
You're not alone, my friend. Next one comes from Bohungeriz, Mr. Kyle. He says, who do you guys think has the highest kill count amongst video games?
Who isn't us three?
Yes. You know why I think it's me?
Not me.
I think it's me because... Although Preston has played Halo, he hasn't played Halo as much as I have. And aside from Halo, he and I have played mostly every other shooter together. And also, he hasn't played Battlefield 1, and I've also played a lot of Battlefield 1. So I've played a lot of shooters he hasn't indulged in as much as I have. So I think
maybe
that's
why. Maybe he has as well.
What do you mean?
Played shooters that you haven't played.
I don't think he has. He and I have played a lot of the same shooters. I mean, sure, there might be one or two out there he may have dabbled in that I didn't play. But for the most part, I'm pretty sure he and I have played every shooter together.
I may have killed more... enemies total, but you've you've killed more real people total, I think.
All right. Now I'm thinking multiplayer
in terms
wise,
of video games, not actual people.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, thank you for clarifying. Now I'm thinking multiplayer wise, it could mean just in general, like even amongst single player. But I'm assuming
a lot
multiplayer.
Of playing WoW.
In Preston's defense, though, he played significantly more Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare, the original, than I did. And I played a lot of it, too, but he probably had a good day more of playtime than I did.
That's a lot.
But over time, though, all the Halos I've played and Battlefield 1, I think Preston's played all the other Battlefields I've played except for Battlefield 1. I think overall I might have a slight edge over him. But I could be wrong. I don't know. I'm just assuming it's me.
Remember how much Zach's little brother played Battlefield 3?
I do. He was incredible.
I know. He was always flying the planes and stuff.
Zach's little brother was the embodiment of Top Gun in a video game. He was unbelievable in Jets and Battlefield. I'm talking the kind of guys that... I don't think he ever did anything this cool, but I always talk about that clip from Battlefield. This is whenever anyone asks, why do you play video games? I jump to the clip from Battlefield 3 where the guy's flying a jet and a jet's behind him. He flies 90 degrees into the air, jumps out of his jet, spins in midair, snipes the pilot out of the other jet, falls and jumps into the jet of the man he just killed and flies away. That is the embodiment of why video games are amazing. It's unreal, dude.
Yeah.
And moments like that are always, why do you play video games? Like, I'll show you why. So stuff like that. But he was incredible. No one could stop him when he was in a jet. He would play an entire match in one jet and slaughter anyone that came towards him. So, but yeah. I mean, Andy might have a higher kill count than all of us combined.
Maybe.
So, yeah. I assume it's me, and that's not even anything I'm proud of. I'm just guessing based on the games I play. Next one comes from Psychiatric Soul. He says, do you guys think that Square Enix will finally unveil the mystery behind the Avenger project at E3, and do you think it will be a PS4 exclusive or for both consoles, and what would you like to see out of this game genre-wise? What do you think, Jacob?
I spaced out in that question.
Okay, well, I will share
what game
my
was
thoughts.
It?
The Avengers Project. Remember that trailer from Square Enix?
I do not think it's going to be console exclusive.
Me neither.
There's no way.
I don't think it will, one, because it's such a big property, but two, Square Enix sort of has like a, they're kind of in bed with Microsoft, it seems. Right. All their games come to Xbox first, or at least Tomb Raider does.
Yeah, just Tomb Raider.
Yeah. Now, Deus Ex is Square Enix published, isn't it?
Yes.
I think it is. Like, forgive me if I'm wrong. My brain's melting the longer we go. But
and so is Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah, all their games are multi-platform, so I think it will no doubt be multi-platform, the Avengers Project. I think we will see a little something at E3. I'm confident we
maybe.
Will.
I don't know.
I think we'll see another trailer at least.
Yeah, I'm not confident enough to say we would, but...
I am. I believe, Jacob. I believe.
It could happen.
And I could... I don't need it, but I'd like to see it. Sure, I'm very interested.
I want to see a new Star Wars IP revealed.
Absolutely. I think we will get... If not multiple, we will get at least one solid trailer from a Star Wars game. We may also get a very brief demo from Amy Hennig's Visceral Games Star Wars game. I think very, very brief tease from her game, I think.
I hope so.
I hope so, too. I think we will see it on
Sony. We'll see Spider-Man games.
We'll see it on Sony. Oh, yeah, definitely, dude. We are seeing some Spider-Man games. We saw the trailer last year. They will no doubt have a short demo of Spider-Man. And Preston will probably dry heave every moment of it.
Live
from,
on stream.
From emotion. Yeah, yeah. We are going to do E3 live this year, or at least we're going to try. It could be a total disaster. I would not blame you guys for jumping into our stream and seeing all the technical difficulties that will probably arise. Hopefully they won't. But we're going to try to do an E3 live stream where not only can you watch it live with us, but we will give our live reactions and do our recaps live. So that way it's all kind of contained and immediately go to YouTube for those who didn't get to watch it live with us to hear our thoughts, which we're excited about. But I'm confident we'll see Avengers Project. But if I had to choose between the two, obviously Spider-Man. So very excited for Spidey. Thank you for your question, Psychiatric Soul. Next one, or last one, was from D-Smitty. That was our main topic. That's all the community questions, Jacob. Oh,
wow.
My goodness. We're at
the
end.
This is a shorter episode, I feel like.
Is it?
I don't know. It felt like it.
I can't tell from here. I can't read.
It felt like it.
I think this might be one of our shortest episodes. But granted, it's only the two of us. Preston typically has that third opinion that would have...
Wasn't a whole lot to talk about this week either.
No, there was not. But Jacob, it was... lovely, nonetheless. I think someone's mowing their lawn in the backyard, and it's probably ravaged the audio for the latter half of this podcast. So thank you all for joining us this week. I had an absolute blast talking these fun little news stories. It was a great main topic. Again, thank you to D. Smitty and all of you who sent us community questions, always creating additional conversation. We could not do it without you. We're very grateful for each and every one of you.
We forgot to mention the Overwatch anniversary speculation.
You want to fill us in, Jacob?
We could.
What's the latest? Because we talked about it last week as well.
Well, on Xbox, the store, the loot boxes were leaked for the anniversary.
No way.
Yes. So it's a thing.
Now, loot boxes in like design of the loot box or the content?
Yeah, it's a dark blue loot box.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And also, someone on Twitter asked the Overwatch team when the event was coming, and they replied, no time is set in stone yet or something like that. Mm. So they confirmed, it's almost confirmed that it's a thing now. So.
Totally. Gets me excited.
It can either be this Tuesday or the next one. So I'm thinking it's going to be the next one. Not tomorrow when this...
Yeah, yeah. It'll probably be the next one. I think you're right.
Because Overwatch launched May 20th. So
did it?
Something last year.
Yeah, it'll definitely be next week then. Cool.
Yeah, dude.
Thanks for filling us in,
I'm super
Jacob.
Excited. Hopefully there'll be a ton of skins.
Absolutely.
Like one for each character or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I love that. I want to see like orange themed skins.
Orange.
Whenever I think Overwatch, I think of the color orange and yellow. Yeah. Probably because of Tracer.
I don't know if there'll be Overwatch themed in particular, you know. But
right. We'll see.
Who knows?
It's fun to speculate.
And I'm also speculating that they're going to bring back all the events from last year, all the seasonal events, like Lucio Ball and stuff.
Totally.
Which would be fun because I enjoyed Lucio Ball.
Yeah.
That's it.
I sucked at it, but I enjoyed it.
Well, you only played it like twice.
I played it a few times, and I was always bad. I could not get good at it. It's one of those games that no matter how hard I tried, I was not meant to play it.
Gotcha.
It was fun, though.
Yeah.
But, Jacob, while I fill people in on the smorgasbord of ending details regarding our content, you want to bring up the iTunes review, see if you got any new ones?
Yes.
I appreciate it. Speaking of iTunes, if you guys are willing to take 2 to 5 minutes out of your day, maybe even less, if you're willing to hop on over to iTunes where our podcast can be found, the It's Obvious podcast, if you're willing to leave us a rating and a review and subscribe, you don't even have to listen to us on iTunes, but if you're willing to do those three things, they help us tremendously in growing this podcast. So the reason why we want to reach a massive audience isn't because we're like, we want to be famous, we want to do this, blah, 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 blah. The reason why we want a bigger audience is because if we can eventually become full-time, we can do so many more additional things to connect with all of you and create more content that's fun for everyone. Because we're on fire about what we do, this podcast, and even our Let's Plays, even though they're kind of like a bonus to our shows we've been doing. We love doing it. Since day one, we've had a blast with it. We greatly appreciated all your support. I know I said that 100 times. We can truly never thank you enough for helping us out. So if you're willing to take the time to leave us a review a rating and subscribe to us on iTunes. It helps us grow. It's our goal to land on the new and noteworthy page of iTunes. It'll get our name out there and hopefully bring in some additional friends to talk every week. Any new ones?
Yeah, we have a new one.
Do we?
Yeah.
Who's
we're up to 28 five-star reviews.
Dude, sweet.
And we have a review from Swaggertron5000.
Awesome. Swaggertron. That's a great name. Yep. Swaggertron, if you're tuning in, thank you, sir. We greatly appreciate it. Again, thank you to all of you who've taken the time to do that on iTunes. And if you're willing to contribute, we're going to give all of you a shout-out every week because we can't thank you enough. But iTunes is a thing. Also, if you want to connect with us, again, you can find us on any of our social media pages that's found in the links, the description of every single one of our YouTube videos. You can find all that info to our Discord channel, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, blah, 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 blah. Yep. And Discord is where our community hub has kind of grown into its own thing. We have multiple places on our Discord. We talk about all kinds of fun stuff daily. And thank you to all of you who are already there. And we encourage all of you that have not yet joined us on Discord, please come over to Discord. There's an app and a website where you can join us. I think it's just called It's Obvious Gaming. And that link can also be found in the description of all of our videos.
Yes.
Also join us on our PSN community. Now, no one really talks as much as we used to in our PSN community, but I figure if we're all going to be friends on PSN, you might as well join the community anyway.
Right.
Because we do use it to create events from time to time. We just want to play games with you guys. We've created a few Overwatch events. I did a Titanfall event once. It just kind of keeps people all on the same page. Like, hey, we want to play games with you guys. Or even if you guys want to use that feature to play with each other, just go to the PSN community and create an event, and it'll even give us a heads up that we can join you guys if we have the time. So, greatly appreciate all of you. Thank you so much for joining us on episode 102 of the It's Obvious podcast. I had a ton of fun, Jacob. You're very handsome. Thank you for bringing Craig's urine. It was delicious.
Yes, it was good.
And
you finished your glass.
I did, yeah. It was mostly water. It was the most watered-down whiskey I've ever had, but I still had that little
ice.
That little tinge of some pee-pee. It was good. Thank you for sharing.
Yep, it was good.
Totally.
Any it was good.
It was good. Any closing thoughts from you, Jacob?
No, just thank you for having me here, Garrett, and I will see you next week.
Absolutely. That goes out to all of you as well. I hope you all have a very blessed week, productive week, and may God be with you all. We love you. Catch you next time.
See you next time, guys.